At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I got a play. It's a guy that we both like.
There's one that sold for 61 on April 27th.
Damn.
Free shipping. Hell yeah, man.
It's not the obvious guys that win you your league.
Oh, I'm on the clock. Oh, no, I got auto-picked.
There's one.
Oh, you missed your pick.
People start going way off the board here.
That's a steal, baby.
I was clicking the button. This is all messed up now.
How'd we get so many auto picks?
2, 1.
Nailed it.
Welcome back to the Football Card Quest, part of the NoOffseason.com Sports Card Network. 100% dedicated football cards research and selling tips. Heading into championship weekend. Just 4 teams left, Steve, to the big game, man. How you feeling tonight, brother?
Man, feeling good. You know, this is kind of like a big week here because we're going to have a week without games. A lot of buildup for that big Super Bowl game, but I think there's a lot of teams that are left in here that seems like an even distribution amount of people think will go to the Super Bowl here. So I know we'll touch on that a little bit, but I'm excited to also talk about some potential off-season things. Just a little dabble before we get there.
Yeah, I think that those make probably the best plays right now because the guys that are in the Super Bowl are clearly spiking. You also have some other big NFL news happening just in the past 24 hours, so we got to hit on that first, man, and that is Jim Harbaugh, national championship-winning college football head coach of Michigan, now taking the job as head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. And, of course, Justin Herbert actually leads all NFL players in the past 24 hours in terms of buy it now and best offer sold rookie cards. Of course, we're tracking that through our Keep 'Em web app, through footballcardquest.com, Go Premium. But Justin Herbert is now number one, past 24 hours, Steve. 224 buy it now or best offer sold. What's your reaction to the hiring of Jim Harbaugh?
Well, he made Alex Smith look like a superstar, and not to say anything bad about Alex Smith, but he was a, you know, first round quarterback that never really amounted to his ceiling that people expected of him. And Herbert, who's already shown even greater potential, I think can now have maybe his ceiling raised even just a bit more now. So I was talking to Derek and some of the other guys when the news broke, and I was like, man, Herbert is about to go off. And I'm actually shocked that people are already buying that quickly on the news, honestly. So that's great, man, because he should have been a buy. I agree with Thomas in the chat here. What's up, Thomas? He should have been a buy already because his values have been kind of in a lull as that team has not done well this season. So, I mean, his stuff, some of his low-end stuff specifically is down, you know, even 50% in some cases or more, but his high-end stuff has dipped a bit, but it's definitely not going to now.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at Optic without the rookie auto, Contenders Optic, I should say, without the rookie auto, Silver Prism PSA 9, $150. Some pretty impressive. I mean, so you got everything across the board here now selling again for Justin Herbert, which is incredible because – this guy's market had totally flatlined and tanked before this. So I got to go over here, take a look. As you can see, guys got 4,108 different rookie cards. We're going to keep an eye on this. We'll go over here and look at Justin Herbert's graded market and kind of see what that's doing over the past 180. Let's zoom in here. Obviously, you can see that it's down over the past 180, but man, I have to guess before today, look at that, $105 buy it now today on his base Prism. And if you look at the low of that December 15th, that was a $70 buy it now. So yeah, we've seen a nice little 30% increase there on a lot of his cards using the base Prism PSA 10 as a kind of just the main indicator there, because I mean, right, let's be real. This is the main card that's bought and sold, especially in a PSA 10 grade for most players, Steve. I think it's just one of those gold standards cards that's super liquid. Look at that, 5,636 different PSA 10 Justin Herbert Prism, base Prisms.
You know, I don't know if this has ever happened to you before, but I'm sure it has. If you're stalking the eBay auctions, there's a card coming up. They've been going pretty cheap, but something happens in the news and that guy's demand suddenly goes through the roof, whether he's, you know, oh, he was hurt, but now he's going to be playing, or, you know, they said he's out for the year, but now he's not, or he gets traded or whatever. I linked you a Herbert that I had been watching for about a week and decided to pull the plug on at the last minute because I was trying to get it at an off-season value, and it quickly spiked up over the last 2 days here. So you know me, Andy, I am a optic preview maniac, and I really was hoping to get this one for a steal, but I think it actually went – it's actually still down, obviously, quite a bit from 2 years ago, but price-wise, I was looking for more of the off-season bargain, which it didn't end up being at this point, but still a good price nonetheless to where it potentially will be in a year or 6 months.
And yeah, I think so too. I'm really interested to see how sustained this demand spike is going to be for Justin Herbert. It's just really interesting timing with the playoffs going on. So you already have a lot of hype there. And then obviously Justin Herbert has been a hobby darling, you know, going back to his rookie year. When I pull up the Los Angeles Chargers, it's really just Herbert that's kind of spiking right now. I'm surprised there's not more on Keenan Allen, but, you know, he is a 11-year veteran at this point. So he's only had five buy it now solds in the past 24 hours. Quentin Johnson, people are still buying him. Are you a Quentin Johnston believer? Have you bought any rookie cards of Quentin Johnston?
Nah, man. You know, if I find the right deal on just about any guy, I know there's a demand for him, so I may pick it up. But in reality, you know, the guy that the team likes and trusts is actually Josh Palmer after Keenan Allen. And you saw that after he got hurt, that passing attack fell apart the same way you saw it fall apart when Austin Eckler was hurt. And interestingly enough, we know a little bit about contract years and how guys tend to even play that much better. They want to get that paycheck. Josh Palmer is in a contract year with a new coach, with a now elevated, potentially, Justin Herbert. I think that that makes for a good play because he's kind of took a little bit of a, you know, shoulder nap here to Quentin Johnston simply because he's newer to the game.
Justin Herbert actually had his largest transaction in the past 90 days happen just 2 days ago. And I'm sure this has got to be correlated with the news of Jim Harbaugh. Here you've got his black one of one mosaic rookie auto PSA 9 black finite $11,500. This was discounted down from almost $25,000 here, Steve.
Man, that's beautiful. Oh man, look at that cracked ice.
Let's see.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing is, not everyone, and actually very few people, can go out and spend a couple thousand dollars on a card. But when there's an opportunity to buy what is or was a $6,000 card and maybe get it for, I was going to say three, that's where the real value is. Because if you double up on an optic base, you're talking about a $20, $30 gain when the market goes back to where it should be on him. But you're talking about a double up on the high end stuff, which people may have been pulling the plug on, afraid to lose too much money, and you know, taking a small risk to get into a guy who's not the hot guy right now. With a guy that talented, you shouldn't be that scared, in my opinion, because here we are. They've only just announced who his coach is going to be, and already is spiking. You know, he hasn't played a game with the new coach, and you know, we don't really know if Eckler's coming back or any of that stuff, but people are already ready to throw money at his cards again.
They really are, man. And it's happening very quick, as you can see by this data. I'm going to show some love to some of our guys in the chat here. Where did Bush Messiah go? I still have a hard time saying that three times. I mean, like, that's a tongue twister of a username, and I really still don't know where they went. He said, only auto-pick Andy misses picks. I don't know. Do you think I'm the only one who auto-picks from time? I can't be the only one who auto-picks from time to time, especially on a 30-second per pick timer.
So, before we get off the topic of the Chargers here, now you got to ask yourself, a coach would probably want to get into a situation where he's got money to play with, can kind of shape the team how he wants to. But Andy, how does a coach go to a team that has minus 44 million cap space? What would you do? What would the first move you do be? They want to bring Eckler back. How does this happen? People have to get cut. People have to get traded. You got to sign a lot of new rookies out of the draft and replace some of your veteran guys. It's really the only way that can happen. So how do you make that happen?
Yeah, you know, Eckler is an interesting one because he's really good, but he's had a bad season off that high ankle sprain combined with a lackluster just team environment altogether the whole year. And you're right. I mean, he doesn't have the draft capital. I think that they probably want to keep him, obviously, but I think he leaves for a fresh opportunity. You talked about the Chargers. They're in the third worst spot, like you mentioned. Negative cap space of effective cap space of what? $45 million negative? That's insane. I mean, on the other end, you have teams like the Buccaneers and the Bears in the top 10 that have a positive cap space of $45 million that can afford to bring in guys like him. But the Chargers can't afford to do much. Eckler would have to take a very team-friendly, bare-bones type deal. The thing is, they don't have – I see Thomas here in the chat is commenting on how much Harbaugh likes to run the ball, power football. Yeah, he loves to establish the run, you know. And yeah, I'm not convinced that the Chargers are set up to do this at all, especially without Austin Eckler. I mean, so maybe they draft a running back, which could be interesting. I think that's kind of maybe something that's definitely going to be in the Chargers, draft path. They pick at number 6. So I don't think that's going to be their pick at number 6. Obviously, it's not going to be a quarterback. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the draft. I'm sure there's a lot of deep talent in the second, third round. Going to be a rookie watch there for Chargers, Steve. What do you think?
Yeah, very likely. Or Oren makes a good case about cutting Mike Williams. I think that's long overdue for them. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a start in getting that done. And Herbert would have to be a part of this, I'm sure. Quite a bit of restructuring gets done. You know, they are a team that is essentially not far off from what a playoff roster should look like. You know, they just haven't been able to put it all together. They have a great team on offense. They have a great team on defense. I think maybe the coaching's been the biggest problem overall. So what if, instead of just casting it into the flames, they do a little restructuring, they get a rookie running back, or possibly bring in a guy that's got a couple years left in the tank, someone like Derrick Henry. They could maybe take a team-friendly type deal with some backloaded money in order to get the team back to ground zero or above. That'd be kind of cool, because who wouldn't want to go to a team that now has a power run focus and a championship-type coach and a championship-type roster? So just some cool food for thought. I think that could be a realistic hire.
Yeah, I mean, when Harbaugh's got a 49-22 NFL record, plus coming off the back of a college football championship, that could definitely sway some decisions from players, you know, wanting to come play for a potentially winning franchise. So, yeah, that's super interesting storyline. Steve, I see that we got Joel Garza in the chat. Quiet here, Joel. He's trying to remind people that Brees is McCaffrey 2.0 by now. Why he's still up. I think that's a great play. I get on board with that, Steve. Now, when it comes to McCaffrey and the 49ers, they're now hosting the Lions here in the championship week. What's your prediction, Steve, for that game? You know, is do we have an injury update on Deebo Samuel? Is there any impossible
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Fact that that could offer the Lions. The Lions are third against the run, so it's going to be strength against strength for the Lions, whereas their weakness has been their defensive secondary. And you have Brandon Ayuk that's been just tearing secondaries up all season, and George Kittle too. And you got Purdy who, when they set up the run properly, I mean – Do you think Purdy's a system quarterback? Do you think he can overcome some of the challenges that may be presented against the Lions? And how do you think this game's going to go down?
Well, I guess let's start with the Deebo thing. He was a limited participant in practice. So they're making it sound like it's a pain tolerance type thing at the moment. So it's going to kind of come down to whether he thinks he can play or not. The Lions definitely can stop the run, and the Lions are like hit or miss in the secondary. They're one of the most burnable secondaries, but they've been known to make some plays at the same time. So I think that you definitely see a lot of pressure on Purdy, maybe an unprecedented amount, and they hope that he can make mistakes in the passing game because he did look a little bit sketchy this past week, and now you have a lot of people questioning if he's the real deal. This isn't the first time. Unfortunately, if a guy has a off game, you shouldn't question his legitimacy. But again, he's only got, what, maybe a season, just over a season under his belt. So there is still a bit of a finding out who he really is. And I think we're still figuring out who he really is. I've been saying it from the beginning. I think the Lions are going to win. I think they're going to play the Chiefs next week. So I think they find a way. CMC will probably still cook. Nobody can really stop that guy. But I think they find a way on defense to make that the great equalizer. Hutchinson now coming off of multiple sack games in a row. He's going to find a way to get to the quarterback, and maybe this will be the time he forces a turnover, and that's the difference maker.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. He's still selling a ton of rookie cards. I mean, people are buying in like crazy. Now, in terms of the AFC, Ravens look like an unstoppable force right now. I mean, the Texans absolutely met a buzzsaw, and CJ Stroud came back down to earth last weekend against Baltimore. Do you think that the Chiefs are going to make it back to the big game? I mean, this is a clash of the Titans here, man, with the Chiefs and how good their offense is whenever they're dialed in, and they definitely got dialed in last week. What are you feeling here, Chiefs Ravens?
You know, as much as we like to, you know, talk a little smack about Mahomes and, you know, the Kelce fan club and how much we have a disdain for every time they show him on TV, there's one thing you can't refute, and that's their ability to somehow win a game with or without the help of officiating. So, as good as the Ravens are, man, I think this is going to be one of those, like, sub 3-point finishes where somehow, some way, they manage to pull this off. And a lot of that's going to depend on how good the run game can be against this defense, which is incredible against the run. And, you know, maybe they actually get the deep ball going, because that's been their weakest point all year. Controlling the middle of the field, they do just fine with Kelsey and with their other receivers, but they by no means stretch the field. And maybe they take some long shots and try to change that, but not turning the ball over is going to be a big one here, because this is probably one of the best defenses we've seen in multiple years.
Get pressure on Mahomes, force some turnovers. I think the Ravens can take this one.
It's going to be probably one of the most anticipated games of the year. And I know a lot of people still constantly hating on the Lions. I mean, there's more Lions fans out there than you'd think. I know there's a lot of Niner fans, but a lot of these Lions fans have hid their shame and their fanhood for the last 30 years, as they've been multiple 0-16, 0-17 seasons in that span.
Well, let's see how we did last week on our pick'ems here on underdogfantasy.com, promo code Quest. They're still offering 100% instant deposit bonus to new signups using promo code Quest. So check it out. Let's check out our pick'em. Oh man, we cashed in on the Christian McCaffrey. No, Christian McCaffrey missed 32.5 by.
Oh man. Not by much.
Two and a half yards. Obviously, he went off on the ground. Didn't get the Brandon Ayuk touchdown.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, we didn't get the Jordan Love over Brock Purdy, although Jordan Love for most of that game was quite efficient, man. He looked sharp until the very, very end. It was a close game, man. Christian McCaffrey, yeah. So we did get the Luke Musgrave, and we crushed it on the Aaron Jones prop. So it was close. It's close, man. But yeah, not quite.
The playoffs are a different beast entirely, man. You know, the ball distribution is, you know, going to be a little bit different, and the game planning is going to be a little bit different. This is when it's win or go home. You know, they shake it up a little bit. So not bad. We didn't miss anything by a country mile or anything.
You think Mahomes passes over under 240? On Sunday again at Baltimore? I mean, I got to think they're going to be pulling out all the stops. It's hard to really stop like an Andy Reid schemed up offense in the red zone. I got to think that this game is going to go like a little bit higher scoring. I can't imagine that this thing's going to stay low, but it's possible. I mean, it's just these two offenses are so good. I get the Baltimore Ravens defense is great, but man, I just don't see him being able to hold the Kansas City Chiefs to one touchdown. You know, I with Isaiah, what's the injury status on Isaiah Pacheco? I think he's, I know he's banged up, but I think he's going to play, but it may be in a limited role, or he may be impacted by a lower body injury from last week.
Let's see here. Did not practice, but he was on the record saying that he will play Sunday. So I think that we'll probably want to see him get a limited at least tomorrow. But it doesn't seem like the team or him is in doubt of his status. So he'll probably play. Whether he's 100% or not, I think could be the other question, but it looks like he's going to play.
I almost like the rushing line from Patrick Mahomes. And then the other one, I would even take 2.5 sacks. I mean, because this game could go one of two ways, right? I mean, it could turn into a shootout. You could see Mahomes evade quite a bit, scramble. We could easily see him put up 26.5 rushing yards, maybe scramble 5 times. Ravens like to blitz. They got very good front 7. They're bringing a ton of pressure. And, you know, 2.5 sacks is not that high. I think you could hit the over there. And then Lamar Jackson's rushing yards, 65.5 rushing yards for Lamar Jackson seems pretty tantalizing. I know he put up over 100 last week, but I got to think he's going to do it again. I'm looking at this comment here from Card Guy 20. I mean, I think he hit the nail on the head here. Lamar's got a refuse to lose mentality right now. So he's going to pull out all the stops. I mean, he's going to take off with his wheels, you know, if things aren't open for him. If he's not seeing the first or second read, I think he takes off.
I could see the interception or fumble. I don't know about a lost fumble, but see the they don't have an interception line for him. That was Mahomes. Never mind. But this is the real test, because everyone's biggest judgment on Lamar has been how he can do in the playoffs, because he does not have a good playoff record. It's actually quite bad. So he's going to have to prove a lot this game to overcome that stigma. We talked about stigmas a few weeks ago and how those seem to stick around even after the facts have been gone regarding that stigma. But, you know, he's 2-4 in the playoffs, and early exit has been his biggest problem. So this is going to be a big game for a lot of reasons, not just to go to the Super Bowl, but to kind of change the way people look at him as far as being able to get it done when it matters the most outside of the regular season. So, yeah, I think there could be some turnovers. I think there'll actually be turnovers on both sides. So I think that they're going to put way too much pressure on Mahomes. And he's not always going to make that 360, you know, shovel pass and make it work. There'll probably be some turnovers on both sides. So I'd be cool with like the Mahomes interception and like you said, the sacks taken or the fumbles lost even for Lamar.
Our man Oren, the Anthony Richardson truther in the house, says, what if Joe Thuney doesn't play? And I think as of right now, it looks like he's not going to play. That's the Chiefs all-pro guard. That's a big impact to the interior offensive line for Patrick Mahomes, which could lead to some really, really quick heat in his face. So now I am more tempted to take this 2.5 sacks prop from Patrick Mahomes as one of the props for him, yeah, and then take the rushing yards for Lamar. How are we feeling?
Yeah, no, that those seem agreeable, honestly.
Avoid Pacheco. We hit 6 receptions. I think Rashee Rice continues to get peppered in this game. You know, obviously they're gonna be targeting the main threat of Travis Kelce. They're gonna be scheming to stop him at all times. But I think Rashee Rice is definitely gonna get hit with quite a few targets, and I like this 6 reception line for Rashee Rice. Whether it's the receptions, the targets, he's really emerged. Whoa, we got a big super chat here from, where did Bush and Messiah go? Put out the Amber Alert. He said, I'm just paying up for the lost revenue, considering I chased Bush and Messiah away. Don't really blame them. If I talked that much smack and couldn't back it up, I would disappear too. Better luck next year, fellas. So I think what he's implying here is that Bush and Messiah have disappeared themselves. They haven't been kidnapped, which maybe that means that they'll come back one day. But yeah, the search continues. We really appreciate this donation to the stream. This definitely does help make up for the lost revenue from all the clicks and comments we were getting from Bush and Messiah. So thank you. Appreciate thank you for that.
Oh, let's see.
All right.
Getting back to it, man. Oh, you know, not an injury, but might as well be an injury. Kadarius Toney will be active. If there was a prop that he would assist in an interception or turnover, I would take it in 2 seconds. It seems like that's the only reason they bring him in, is to facilitate turnovers.
That's where Messiah's been. He's been hanging out with Kadarius Toney. They've been studying game footage. So
watch him come out and have a career day, though. That would be something.
You never know.
Are you going to grab some lines from a different game or trying to stay all within the same game there?
Well, I'm going to grab some lines for that game. One thing I did want to talk about tonight, Steve, as we go through this stream, and maybe we'll clip this section out, but I now want to segue into talking to more about plays upcoming, free agency, draft hype cycle. You know, those are two really big windows. We talked a little bit about the negative cap space that the Chargers have, and it's very interesting to see what's going on with Herbert's market right now. In terms of quarterbacks, you know, when it comes to the fantasy stats that really matter to try and predict future quarterback breakouts, that's tough, man. Like, you can look at completion percentage. You can look at the pass attempt to completed pass. Like, just basically look at their efficiency metrics, their deep ball. Like, deep balls make good highlights, right, Steve? Athletic profiles, quarterbacks that can scramble as well as have a high throw velocity. So we know that throw velocity is one of those that I think correlate well over to a good highlight per se and a good player. But when it comes to quarterback, Steve, I feel like it's really hard to predict the future breakout because so much of a quarterback success, especially in the hobby, is tied to their win-loss record and tied to how young they are and like how unknown they are as well. And then you combine that with the scarcity of their rookie cards and the average price point that they're at when they do have that spike, whatever the event is that causes it. You know, those are some of the factors I think of. It's a very hard market to pinpoint, but wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, they're a lot more predictive. And we have some really good fantasy stats that we know we can look at to predict a future breakout. But before we leave off of quarterbacks, Steve, what's your take on fantasy stats that matter most with quarterbacks and kind of predicting future quarterback breakouts?
I mean, turnover ratio is, I think, a pretty big one. You know, people talk a lot about, you know, how many touchdowns they had. People talk a lot about how many yards they had, but the turnover discussion isn't as prevalent. Anytime you see a guy throw a pick or multiple picks, there's always like a negative stigma that comes with that. So much, in fact, that guys that are not turnover prone that maybe were at one point, a lot of guys still have that affixation to their name, which is unfortunate. And then I think the other is, if you learn anything from the Lions, if you learn anything from the Eagles, from the Niners, is to the way to build an offense, to build an efficient quarterback, is to build an efficient O-line. And O-line play is going to be a major predictor of that quarterback's success. Not the only predictor, but a major predictor.
Yeah, I think that's a good one, especially when you look at quarterbacks that are less mobile, right? So I guess maybe offensive line is not, you know, it's not the biggest thing for guys like Lamar Jackson, but it is huge when you look at a guy like Jared Goff, because anytime Jared Goff has been under pressure and he's not been protected well, he's been bad. So if the offensive line wasn't top five heading into the year, I would have never been advocating and buying into Jared Goff. I don't think he would have done well. Just like putting Tom Brady behind a bad offensive line, he's not going to do well. But behind a good offensive line, all of a sudden these guys get the protection they need, and they're throwing like crazy, man, at a high rate of efficiency, which converts into a ton of completions. And yes, win-loss record, which is huge for quarterbacks. I mean, go back to the beginning of this year, just like the year before and the year before that, the quarterback that gets off to that 3-0 start, like this year it was Tua, you know, they go up massive. They go up 100% in rookie card value. It's all everybody's talking about. They're the early candidate out of the gate for MVP consideration. Remember, we said the same thing about Sam Howell, and it happened with him at the beginning of the season too, especially with Eric Bieniemy coming in, dialed up a ton of pass attempts. They had easy matchups, and he got a couple wins right out of the gate, and people were like, let's go, you know, and his card spiked up, and only to come way back down, just like Tua's did as well. See, I think offensive line is certainly important, as well as I want to look at Yeah, final 2023 offensive line rankings right here. Eagles were still number one, even though I know they dealt with some injuries. Detroit Lions, number two. The Colts, number three. Gardner Minshew.
Do you have a visual for us, or are you just reading it up?
Yeah, I can share the visual. I'm going down their rankings from Pro Football Focus. Number four, Atlanta Falcons. This is huge, man, because they're getting a top pick this next year in the NFL draft. Atlanta Falcons are where they're picking at nine. Where they're picking before that, though, right? Or no, they're picking at nine. So they got number nine locked in right here. First, second, third, two fourths, a fifth, and two sixths. I got to think Atlanta Falcons are going with a quarterback here, especially after how bad Desmond Ridder played, benching, firing of Arthur Smith. I mean, we're looking at, with a new head coach, a very likely situation where the Atlanta Falcons upgrade at quarterback, and they have a solid offensive line. Bijan's a rookie. Steve, I would love to buy into Bijan Robinson. He's tough to buy into because he is a rookie and his cards are still being released. You got all the new sets coming out, so it's like just new product hype, man. It's hard to get into, even so. But he is cheaper than Jahmyr Gibbs now, which that was never the case at the beginning of the season. So I would like to get into Bijan, but you can certainly get into Drake London, Kyle Pitts, who could benefit big time from a quarterback upgrade and a good offensive line.
It's interesting because the parallel between the Falcons and the Lions is actually pretty similar. The only difference is a lack of a quarterback. You have like a 1A, 1B running back situation. You have a really good alpha wide receiver. You have a most likely, we still don't know, but most likely a top in the league tight end, top five, at least has the potential to be. And one of the best O-lines and a very good young defense. So, man, you better believe that they're either going QB or they're trying to sign one in free agency or through trade, which could be Justin Fields, if we're being honest. And that would be insane if that happens.
So one of the metrics that we like to look at when it comes to wide receivers and running backs, after looking at their athletic profile, because of course that's important, right, Steve? How explosive are they? How fast can they run? Like that, I think, as at a base is like, okay, now we've got an interesting block of clay here. Can that be molded into something that could be a superstar, like a really nice vase in the NFL, right? And so you start looking at these running backs now from athletic profile. Well, Steve, I think we go into snaps. How often are they on the field? They got to be on the field to get opportunities. And then, so we look at their snap share. And if they're getting a snap share, like how often are they getting the opportunity when the ball is handed off? How often are they getting those handoffs when the ball is thrown? How often are they running routes? So routes run for a running back is important because we want to know how much the coaching staff feels that they trust this player out in space to potentially get those checkdowns or to get some of those intermediate short passes. And then you look at their efficiency, like when they did get the ball, how many yards per touch did they create? What was their juke rate? You know, how many breakaway runs did they have? Those are the runs over 15 yards. And obviously look at Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he's by far and away the best running back in the league this year. Checks all those boxes, man. He's arguably number one in all those boxes. So those from a running back perspective, is there any other fantasy stats that you like to look at to try and predict a future breakout at the running back position?
Yeah, I think you mentioned juke rate. So like I forget what the metric's called, but when they force a missed tackle, I think that's juke rate, if that's what's referred to on the stat sheet. And actually, an interesting guy that's a free agent is J.K. Dobbins, because before he got hurt both years, he was actually very high on that sheet, maybe top five even. And he'll be a free agent this year. Now, granted, that comes with a lot of risk, but That also means that there could be a bargain on a guy that could be one of the best running backs on the league. I think that you hate to say it, but you've seen it with some of the smaller guys this year. Pollard, for example, when they tried to push him into like a primary role when he should probably be like maybe a 2/3 share guy at the most or 50. Mm-hmm. You actually seen his work production level go down. And that's something that you got to worry about for the players, not only success now, but longevity in the league. I mean, the smaller guys, they just take a little bit harder of a beating and it takes a little bit of a toll on their career. So, and you got to have that same concern with, I hate to say it, but Tank Dell. You know, you saw Tank Dell going for a block and just get crushed, you know, on a play that he shouldn't have been in there anyway. But that's the reality of it.
Yes, yeah, so you can see Tony Pollard's efficiency from 2022 dropped over a 1.2 yards per carry in efficiency. That's a massive drop. So if we come down here and look at some of his efficiency metrics, it's not really popping in any of them. He didn't even scratch the top 10 on breakaway runs, and Christian McCaffrey had 20. So he had 9 more than Tony Pollard, and Tony Pollard got, if you're looking at the data, he ran more snaps than Christian McCaffrey. He also got his overall snap share was less. So Christian McCaffrey ran a higher percentage of the snaps for his offense, but his red zone snaps were higher. His red zone snap share over 80%. So, I mean, and he ran, he was on the field for more pass snaps. So in terms of sheer opportunity, he was higher, but then you look at the efficiency and he didn't execute. I think you could go back and look at his college profile and like, yeah, he's explosive. He's pretty fast, although he didn't test great here. You can see that in his college metrics, but he didn't have the college dominator. I mean, 15th percentile at Memphis. And I know he shared the backfield with some other good running backs there. So it, maybe he didn't quite have the opportunity to, but still, I mean, he was a fourth round draft pick, I think, for that reason. He was never really designed to be a bell cow running back like I think Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson. We saw Rashad White do it this year pretty good. What was Rashad White's efficiency, Steve? 3.6, even worse than Tony Pollard.
Yeah, but you know what? As the season went on, Andy, that if there was a way to track that number progressively, I think that it got better as the season went on because his play clearly got better as the season went on. So I think that you see that number go up yet again next year.
So yards created, that's an interesting one because those are all yards created by the running back after the initial contact at the line of scrimmage. He's actually ranked number 2. And I'm not sure if that's a metric of the sheer volume that he got or if Rashad White did actually pick it up. I do, like, visually, I saw him, you know, pick it up big time throughout the season. I was way more impressed with him at the end of the season than I was at the beginning or even coming into the season. And, you know, with all the cap space that the Buccaneers have, I mean, looking at the cap space here, the Buccaneers here in the top 10 cap space, $47.1 million available in cap space with virtually no dead money. You got to think they invest in the offensive line some this offseason, invest in a little, maybe the defensive secondary. So it's a really tragedy that just today we lost Dave Canales, our offensive coordinator, who I freaking loved. He was a former quarterbacks coach for Geno Smith the year before when Geno made his career resurgence. This year, he's our offensive coordinator. Baker Mayfield has a career season. And now he's going to be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. And I'm like, oh, man, dude. I'm not happy about that. Division rivals. I really was liking Dave Canales as our OC because Todd Bowles can't call an offense. And now what are we going to do, man? This is not good. So I was like excited about all these things And then I just remembered that Dave Canales, like right before we came on air, I got the tweet that Dave Canales is being hired as the new Panthers head coach. Ugh, brutal. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, that's a bummer, especially after, you know, an unexpected offensive surge as the season went on and unexpected success level out of Baker. We saw those preseason tapes. We saw them. We showed them on stream. It looked pretty bad. And whatever they did to fix it, pretty impressive. And I think that he achieved or overachieved, and he's definitely going to earn himself a payday this season coming up. So, but that makes you wonder if that hurts Mike Evans's chances of coming back, if he's going to maybe want to come back with maybe a whole new offense.
Yeah, yeah. Real quick, let me shout out Valcorp Photography Thomas for the super chat here. Really appreciate that, brother. Let me see what he said here in his comment. What's up, guys? Big fan. I've learned so much from all of you. First year collecting cards, and you've been a huge help, man. Glad we could be a help and get you back into the hobby, man. That's awesome. Glad to have you here. Van Ward says, I heard all the noise about Bijan, but is he actually any good? So, yeah, that's a great question. Let's pull up Bijan here. I think he was actually, in fact, really good. If we look at his athletic profile, he has all the makings of a bell cow running back in the league. You can see the speed, the explosiveness. You see the college domination. I mean, just absolutely dominant. And then we go down here, and let's look. 4.6 yards per carry. He was totally misused, Steve. I mean, there was just times where it was egregious, and the decision-making from both Arthur Smith and then the execution from Desmond Ridder was just terrible, man. And I think there were so many times where Bijan Robinson made these, like, eye-popping highlight plays, one-handed catches behind his back or, you know, stutter step cut moves where – he just makes like two or three defenders like fall over each other like a cartoon. And it's just, I mean, he looks like the best playmaker in the short area of the field on that team. It's crazy how many good weapons they have between him, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, add in Jonnu Smith, who is used a lot. I've always liked Jonnu Smith too, because he's just absolutely yoked. It's fast too for a tight end. So, yeah, I mean, look at this. I mean, number one in routes run, number three in target share. That's pretty crazy, man. And they ran a lot. We know Arthur Smith loves to run the ball. I think his targets stay the same next year. And he put up 10 breakaway runs, even though if you look at his opportunity share, he ranked 31st. So he really just didn't get enough opportunities. He was 19th in carries. He could have got a ton more carries. He could have got more carries in the red zone. Only 31 red zone touches, Steve. So I look at his efficiency on a much smaller sample size than Rashad White. He's, in fact, much better.
So here, do me a solid. Pull up. We're looking at his 2023 numbers. Pull up Tyler Allgeier 2022 numbers. And I want to make a point, not comparing them necessarily, but showing that I think they're actually going to both be better next year than this year with the right coach. So let's look at the 2022 stats, if those are on there.
All right. 4.9 yards per carry on
210. Now that is impressive, man. I think people quickly forget if Tyler Allgeier was a number one first round draft pick, for example, there'd be a lot more hype around him still, despite the down year.
And well, they ran the ball the most out of any team in the league. Number one run plays per game. So right. that definitely helped him. But, like, look at the evaded tackles, the juke rate. I mean, nothing's, like, eye-popping in terms of, like, efficiency or breakaway rate, you know. What I will give him is that he's solid. Like, he's solid, right? Because you also see a stacked front carry rate. Like, he ran against a stacked front a lot of times because they were expecting the Falcons to run the ball.
I was going
to
get at that next. So, yeah. I watched a couple of videos on this, and when Allgeier was on the field, they loaded the box. When Bijan was on the field, they spread the box back, anticipating a likely pass play. So that's part of that problem is coaching, because if it's that transparent that you're going to pass or run based on the personnel out there, if obviously that has a lot to do with it, but if it's that transparent, then you're not doing your job right. Because if you're not mixing the play calling up, then you're pulling the old adage of the Bears. It's, you know, two runs up the gut and then a pass. Like, you're not fooling anybody doing that. So clearly it's not a small sample size. He had 4.9 yards of carry the year before being the bell cow. I don't think he suddenly got worse. I think that his usage got worse. And I think Bijan's usage is worse than it should be, because these guys are not being used to their strengths. And I think that with a new coach, you actually see that happen.
Yeah, I really think it's, I mean, with as good as Bijan is and with the money they've got invested in him, it'll be interesting to see who they bring in at quarterback and who they bring in for coaching. But I got to think that Bijan only goes up from here, and he's definitely going to be a guy that I'll be interested in trying to pick up some cards for 2024. But and this is running back. So now let's move on to wide receivers, and let's talk about, you know, some of the best fantasy metrics to look at for wide receivers, Steve. So once again, it starts with snaps, but then with wide receivers, it really comes down to, and as much as their athletic profile is cool, I think that's better for running backs. When I look at a wide receiver, I'm like, how well can they separate? Like, yeah, it's great that they have the 99th percentile speed score, but if they can't get open, what good is it? If you can't get open, then you can't command targets. And Steve, I think a lot of times we see people in the hobby, they're so reactive to wide receivers scoring touchdowns, and they want to buy into the player scoring touchdowns. But in fact, I think it's the guys that are getting all the targets and getting open all the time that are the guys they should target, because the touchdowns will surely follow, right?
You know, I think an underrated thing, and you saw that with Amon-Ra and I would say even Olave a little bit, like, they're a little bit more grinderish, where they're going to make those tough catches in the middle of the field and move the chains and move the chains and move the chains. You know, not every guy is going to be the downfield stretcher and get 40, 50, 60 yard touchdowns a couple times a year. It's not in the cards for everybody. But each guy has a different way of creating the same amount of success through different means of doing that. So while putting up the exact same or similar numbers, you could see that there between a handful of these guys.
Yeah, it's egregious, man. So a perfect example, look at two players here, Garrett Wilson and Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? Amon-Ra St. Brown finished the year as a top three fantasy wide receiver. He's got rookie ticket autos upwards of $100 right now. Granted, he's in the championship game. He's still playing at a super high level, but he's been doing this all season long. Big difference there in offensive line, talked about it. Quarterback efficiency, talked about that. And Amon-Ra St. Brown runs a variety of routes, runs a lot of routes out of the slot. He gets open a lot. He's a good separator, and I think he's definitely grown this year. If you look at the charting data from Reception Perception on his route tree and on his route win rates, they've been really good. But I think what's important to point out here is that he's had the same target share, the same percentage of targets, total targets from his team as Garrett Wilson. And Garrett Wilson has had the same amount of total targets as well, which tells you that that Garrett Wilson is also the alpha wide receiver for his team, but he just didn't get the same quality of targets as Amon-Ra St. Brown, and therefore didn't get the same receiving yardage, didn't get the same amount of touchdowns. As you can see, he only got three touchdowns this past year, and therefore he was wide receiver number 32. And therefore, if you look at his rookie card values, they're down 50 to 100% in so many cases. I mean, the guy had, this is another one of my favorite fantasy stats to look at. that matters most is air yards. Because if you don't know what air yards are, for everybody out there, I know Steve does, but it's the distance of all intended targets. So basically, you can look at targets and target share, but you can also look at air yards and unrealized air yards. So basically, what unrealized air yards are telling you is that he could have put up 1,700 receiving yards had he got quality targets from his quarterback, but he didn't. And therefore, he only put up 1,000 and three touchdowns, when really he should have put up 1,700 and probably 10 or 11 touchdowns, right, Steve? So, and then we'd be looking at a totally different rookie card picture for Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the lack of the gap between the air yards and actual yards, a lot of that comes from overthrown passes or incompletions thrown his way. So, you know, quality of quarterback is going to be a massive measurement in closing those two numbers. And, you know, looks like Rodgers will be back, presumably, this year. So that's a massive, massive upgrade. Hopefully they can get that old line together. I know the running game just kind of came back to form, so that's going to help quite a bit. But, you know, Garrett Wilson, hobby darling last year, and not forgotten about, but definitely can be had at a discount right now. So I see Joel's taking advantage of the market inefficiency on his cards right now. So yeah, man, that's definitely a good buy. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's how we find those guys. And it's, so it happened to be Garrett Wilson, 'cause he's a really like easy one. He jumps out on the page, 'cause he checks so many boxes, right? The Jets, all rookie, offensive rookie of the year, going back to 2022, you know, just the unfortunate circumstances around Rodgers, early season Achilles tear and all that. So, Garrett Wilson's like an easy bounce back candidate for 2024, a guy that should have put up a ton more numbers, but I wanted to highlight the actual fantasy stats, because they're, you know, most of, you go to NFL.com, right? They're not so much concerned about these advanced fantasy metrics like air yards and unrealized air yards and target share and stuff like that. It's more about storylines and just overall stats, right? The overall stats are from like just receiving yards, receptions, touchdowns, you know, all pro selections, Pro Bowl selections. That's what gets you into the Hall of Fame, you know? So it's not, you know, the only real like market niche that gets down into the nitty gritty and predicting future breakouts at the wide receiver and running back position are the fantasy markets. You know, it's the fantasy gurus, it's the fantasy nerds like us that really want to dig into this data to understand who is the alpha on each team. And then from there, we can take a step back and say, okay, this team's got this draft capital, they've got this much cap space, they're changing this coach this offseason. Now we can start to put these pieces together and paint a picture on if that player is going to potentially break out in 2024. And it may happen before that, right? I mean, like we're seeing with Herbert today. I mean, we could have been buying into her. We could have been buying into Herbert the past couple weeks because of the coaching change. I mean, we knew they fired Brandon Staley. We didn't know they were going to hire Harbaugh. That's a best case scenario, right? Yeah. Not every team can hire Harbaugh. Harbaugh's gone. So it's like, you know, the Panthers hiring Dave Canales. I don't think Bryce Young's cards are going to go up a whole lot, even though they may, in retrospect, they should, because Bryce Young may have a way better 2024 now that they've got Dave Canales, because of how well Dave Canales has called an offense for Baker Mayfield and before that Geno Smith. And you look at that trend and what Dave Canales has been able to do, he's been promoted each year. This is big, man. I think this can have a big impact for Bryce Young next year. And sure, mate, they're going to have a super easy schedule to start the season. You look at their cap space, the Panthers, $28.5 million in cap space. So right in the middle of the pack. We know they're not going to be drafting a quarterback here. Let's look at the Panthers draft capital real quick.
Well, while you're pulling that up, I was looking at the comments. Valcorp said, talk about Nico. And, you know, you were talking about all these advanced metrics, air yards, yada, yada, yada. Plus, obviously, a little bit of the eye test if you're actually watching the games yourself. But these things matter, right? Not just for fantasy football, but predicting card values. I remember during one of our lives saying, Andy, I think we need to take a look at Nico Collins, a guy that, I mean, you could have got for pennies on the dollar that only is going up even to this week while that team's been eliminated. So getting in way ahead and taking a close look at some of these, you know, off-grid metrics that aren't just on the stat sheet are pretty important.
Very important, man. So Panthers don't have first-round pick. I just remember that. They traded that to the Bears. You guys got that pick. And they traded a couple other picks, too. Their picks at this point are going to be second. They are going to get a second, early second, third, fourth, fifth. But my point is, if you look at the real alpha wide receiver on that team, seems to be Jonathan Mingo. Yeah, you could say Adam Thielen, but Adam Thielen's how old? I mean, yeah, he's solid. But if I was going to buy into a guy that's got like an available market to really buy into, it's not Adam Thielen. Maybe it's DJ Chark, but he's a guy that's just a journeyman at this point, that's suffered a ton of lower body injuries, that's super hit or miss, not consistent at all. I'd be buying into Jonathan Mingo. I'd be buying into Bryce Young, Jonathan Mingo stacks offseason. I think that's going to be a great stack to own in terms of rookie cards heading into 2024 with Dave Canales. That's exciting. So that's something to pay attention to. And then, the guys were talking about the actual stats for Chris Olave this year were fantastic. I mean, he's a guy that led the league in air yards. I mean, I'll go back to it real quick, but
you know, speaking of Thielen, Thielen's at his age still a great receiver, but get the man some help, please, because he can still put massive numbers up, but you can't just rely on one guy. You know, you need an outside guy, you know, that can stretch the field, that's going to help open up the middle of the field. You can't just have him, and you can't have that level of QB play and expect any of those receivers to be mega efficient.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Especially with the play design that they had. So clear alphas for their team, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams for the Raiders, Keenan Allen for the Chargers, Michael Pittman for the Colts. We also mentioned them as having that top offensive line. He's a beast. He was a guy who was definitely been on for a while. Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown, which is very close with Devonta Smith, but A.J. Brown, just he's an absolute monster. Then you got Garrett Wilson, CeeDee Lamb, Stephon Diggs, who I think is getting real dusty, Steve. I mean, he looked real dusty last week, man.
They definitely didn't look his way after the couple early drops in that game. So, you know, if you look back 2 years in a row, though, there is a trend with him, and that's that he starts the season incredibly hot. I mean, looking like there's not anyone on his level. But as the season goes on, you can kind of just see it tickering downward and, you know, really hit the bottom as the playoffs came.
And there's Chris Olave. You know what's interesting to me here is that the only two guys from the same team, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, on this top 10 list, for target share, both of these guys have over a 25% target share for one team, for one quarterback. That's Matthew Stafford. I think it says more about Matthew Stafford than it does these two guys. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to take anything away from these guys. I know we touched on it before, but in terms of, you know, a quarterback propelling his wide receivers to success, I can't think of a much better one than Matthew Stafford, man.
Puka's a special talent, man. Not many people can catch the ball and just drag linebackers, safeties, whatever, and still run for 40 yards. He doesn't have the breakaway speed. He doesn't have the crazy college metrics that some of these other guys have, but he makes up for it in a lot of other ways.
But most of these teams only have one alpha. You know, they have one guy that can demand over a, you know, 23-24%. Target share, and or even I guess we could probably draw the line around.
You could make that argument for the Vikings, though. You can make
that. Yeah, you got TJ Hockenson and Justin Jefferson. I mean, yeah, Kirk Cousins is a guy that reminds me a lot of Matt Stafford. I mean, Kirk Cousins doesn't have like the no-look throws, but I mean, he's a gunslinger, dude, and he's got such great pocket awareness and ability to hang in there, take hits, and throw some really good passes. So, and look at Baker. I mean, this is what's got to get people excited about Bryce Young and Dave Canales now next year is look at Mike Evans and Chris Godwin over 23% target share. Mike Evans, another monster year over. Look at them. Both of them, almost 200. And what do you have? A combined 266 targets between those two guys. I mean, it's insane, man. That's really exciting for the Panthers next year, because I don't think their defense is that great. They're going to have some holes there. Obviously, they don't have a ton of cap space. So Dave Canales coming in, they're going to see what they got in Bryce Young. And I think you're going to see a lot of different offensive schemes cooked up. And hopefully Jonathan Mingo can be good. I see Derek here saying he thinks Jonathan Mingo sucks. I got to think that he's better than Quentin Johnson. And he did have a pretty high target share last year, pretty high air yard share when I was looking at the analytics.
I feel like, you know, after Thielen, every other receiver on that team is like pretty much the same. There's not like a guy that is very different from the next. They've drafted like the same type of receiver. And even when they traded for LaVisca Chenault, you've got like a bunch of bigger bodied receivers that can make plays, but they've disappointed at the pro level.
I just want Mingo to work so bad, man. Look at the 2023 class rank. I mean, look at all the green across the board for his athleticism score, college rankings. I mean, early second round draft capital. I know that Terrace Marshall's been more or less a bust. I had to go and study Mingo's reception perception profile to see what his route tree looked like, what his success rate looked like, how often was he getting open. But when I was studying this, look at this. I mean, he had a ton of unrealized air yards. And I think you kind of, if you do clear the way with Adam Thielen, obviously you saw from looking at Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, I think that there could be enough passing volume in this offense under Dave Canales that Bryce Young could actually feed two relevant wide receivers if he can actually get back to like his college level of efficiency.
Well, you've got, you know, Thielen, which would be Godwin.
Yeah.
And then you need a Mike Evans, which they don't have yet. I know I've seen it in the chat. I've seen it in a lot of other places, unfortunately, about the T. Higgins rumor to Carolina. Yeah. Please. I really hope that doesn't happen. And actually, I keep hearing that they're going to franchise tag him, which could be true. Hard to say at this point yet. But I know that he wants to stay. They want him to stay. But it's a matter of making the money work. So we'll see what happens. But, man, I think that if they can find a way to keep him long-term, that's best for his long-term success. But probably deep down, there's a part of him that wants to be the guy on a team, you know?
Yeah, card guy. Terrace Marshall's he's a bust, man. Bush and Messiah Hunter said QJ greater than Mingo. Oh no, that's not good. Not good coming from him. Not good. That's kind of scary. So maybe they are in the market. Free agency. Mike Evans, I swear to God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll throw this computer across the room if Mike Evans signs with the Panthers. I don't think he would do that. I do not think he would ever do that. But Mike Evans is a top wide receiver hitting free agency this year. I got to think that the Bucs figure out a way to get him a new contract. The guy's obviously still a complete stud. Either that or he's going to go sign with the Chiefs or the Chargers or something, maybe. I don't know.
Wherever he goes, Andy, I hope it's somewhere where he can thrive and continue to play well.
Yeah.
a dumpster fire somewhere.
T. Higgins, I think, leaves. I think T. Higgins is getting paid. I don't think franchise tag is going to work on T. Higgins. Just my personal opinion. Now, so T. Higgins, wait a minute. So I'm pulling up T. Higgins right now, but
Van saying Evans to Chicago, 2 years, $50 million.
Ew, Chicago.
Oh, Andy, with that
poor guy. With DJ Moore, I mean, they've got a clear alpha that demands 26, 28, probably 30% targets if you'll give it to him. He's always open, you know. He's like Jamar Chase.
I think if they make that kind of move for Evans, they probably go and find a more pass-friendly QB.
This would be a fire play. Before I say what's up to our man, Matt from Jets Crazy 87, this play gets me excited, man, just because of how exciting C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans have been this year. I would continue to hold my Mike Evans collection if this were the case, because I think that could be really exciting next year for Mike Evans. But at the same time, that would make a pretty crowded room with Nico Collins and then Tank Dell, who commanded a ton of targets this year as a rookie, who is so versatile.
A lot of people that think that Henry will go to the Eagles or Cowboys. Those have been the two most common team names I've heard.
I really hope he doesn't go to the NFL graveyard that is the Titans. No, they'll be fine, but I'm really interested to see what the Titans do this offseason at quarterback position. If they're going to – obviously, Ryan Tannehill's hitting free agency, and I'm not sure that they're convinced Will Levis is that guy, although the offensive line was really bad. I mean, look at the offensive line rankings and where the Titans were at. They're probably dead last, dude. Let me see. They're so bad, they're not even ranked.
Cliff Kingsbury? They did interview him. I don't think they're going to sign Cliff
Kingsbury's a terrible coach.
No, I honestly think it was more of a intel gathering on Caleb Williams than an actual coaching inquiry.
It is good to see you, Matt. What's up, man? Jets Crazy 87 in the house. We just hit a segment earlier talking about your Jets and the value on that can be had on Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. So I'm sure you've been stocking up your collection. But yeah, man. So we hit on our Super Bowl takes, championship weekend takes, put in a pick'em slip. We hit on the fantasy metrics that matter most when it comes to predicting future breakouts at the wide receiver, tight end, running back position. We talked about quarterbacks. That's a very tricky market. We hit a little bit on free agency, and we're going to be talking a lot over the coming weeks, guys, about free agency, the draft capital that these teams have, where they're picking, what picks they have, what their needs are, their salary cap space, and then obviously the coaching changes and how that can impact. And we'll be going through each team. It's kind of like how we did on one or two teams tonight, Steve. Any parting shots before we get out of here, my friend?
Oof, did we finish that slip? Did you submit that already?
I did. I only had three picks on there, but I did submit it, man. I did. Now, if you want to put in another slip, I'm totally down.
All right. We got one more super chat here, so we got to hit that up. Crucial K says Bears hired OC from the Seahawks. True. The man that resurrected Geno Smith. So that is a notable signing. Let's see. No talk about the real ones. Tyreek, Jamar, I'm twisted now. Steelers fan with Chargers season tickets and lover of all football teams. Yeah, I mean, we really just mostly touched on, pending free agents and that, and some of the guys that are still around in the playoffs. But I will touch on Tyreek a little bit. So Tyreek is owed a lot of money. Tyreek also claims that he may retire when his contract is over, which is in 2 years. So, and if you pull up what Tyreek Hill is owed over the next 2 years, there is a chance, depending on the rest of the Miami Dolphins roster, that he is not a Miami Dolphin after this season. So that leads me to believe that having to pay both Tua and Tyreek Hill, that they are going to look at next season as a win now, must win season, because they may need to have a new game plan after that if it doesn't work out, because they're going to have to decide on a last season out of Tyreek's contract, which is over $50 million, I believe, and also consider signing Tua to what's going to be a very expensive contract. And we think that he's the QB for them. I know that there's still some people that don't, though.
Yeah, Joel's saying he's got a noodle arm, move from him. Tua, not the guy. You know, I'll say this. This is what concerns me about Tua, and the reason why I will not be investing in him this offseason is because I profited on him this past season. Did really well on Tua at the beginning of September. And also, they just mutually parted ways with Vic Fangio, their defensive coordinator. There's several notable star defensive players on their team that are already very unhappy about this move. And I don't think their defense is going to be as good next year as it was this year. I think this was their year, and they couldn't get it done. I don't think Miami gets it done for a few more years. I see the Patriots getting better next year. I see the Bills still being really good, you know, and the Jets getting a lot better. I think potentially looking at the Jets taking this division down next year. And I don't know, man. I don't think Miami's going to do as good as they did this year. So for that reason, I think I'm going to have to get out on Tua. I'm not going to get in. I already got out on him, but I don't think I'm going to get back in, even though his prices have gone down pretty low.
I think I'm still in. I've seen enough to still be in. You know, they had a lot of injuries throughout the middle to late season, which, you know, handicapped them quite a bit. But I think all the questions about Tua's health should at least be gone at this point. The defense is reasonably good. The offense is obviously exceptional. And they now have one of the most exciting young running backs in the league and one of the best elder statesmen running back in the league. So they're still built to win now. They just need to not get injured down the stretch. What do they have, 4 or 5 starting defenders hurt at the end of the season, Andy?
The defense was decimated.
If they were in the playoffs now and those guys weren't hurt, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
I know. It was bad luck. They ran into the weather, all the hurt defensive players. You know, it was bad luck. But, you know, sometimes things that happen that way. And I just think that was their window. So I think as much as I think it looks smart to go back to them, I don't think I will, just for those reasons. Also, I think Miami's got a little bit smaller fan base than I think a lot of people realize. You know, when you look at Miami, it's like, oh, this huge metropolitan city. It's a massive city. Millions of people live in there. You know, iconic city. Everybody knows Miami and South Beach all over the world. But I don't think they have nearly as big of a market as the Dallas Cowboys, or New England Patriots, Green Bay Packers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the 49ers, you know, all these other teams. I think Miami's got like the same fan base as like closer to maybe the Buccaneers, maybe a little bit more than the Buccaneers. But you see what I'm saying? You know, they're probably in that range.
It's reasonably big, but we had this kind of conversation last week or the week before where people that live in that area either recently have moved there or in the last 30 years have moved there. I've been down there. I've had a business down there. That area is a lot of New Yorkers. It's a lot of East Coast people. In fact, when I went down there last time for playoff football, the Bills fans were overwhelming in the area. There were more Bills fans there than there were Dolphins fans to watch these games. And that was against the Dolphins nonetheless. So that should tell you something. The New York presence, very heavy down there. So I'm not saying that it's not a big market. Obviously, the Dallas market's a bigger market than the Houston Texans market, right? you know, that doesn't take away from the fact that it's not sizable enough. There's obviously enough.
It's deceiving because there's a lot of snowbirds there that are buying rookie cards for their first and foremost for their guys up in the north, you know, for their teams all over the country. But the Miami, the actual true Miami Dolphins fans and collectors that'll buy Tua and Tyreek and these guys no matter what are it's the population of those guys are a lot smaller than I think what a lot of people may realize. So I think it's important to highlight that. So I love that insight, Steve.
Yeah, it's definitely the same thing like the Tampa Bay Rays, right? They're a newer MLB team as far as like the last 20-ish years. People from Tampa generally, not a lot of people are Tampa natives. There's going to be more over time, obviously, but a lot of Tampa fans are Yankee fans, right? First, or they're Cub fans first because that's where they grew up. So you have the same thing with Miami. And even with teams like the Bills, you have tons of Bills fans, but you got way more Giants fans and you got way more Jets fans. It's just the nature of the beast. So
I love the chat tonight, man. Chat is lit. Joel said Chubb taking his helmet off cost me his fantasy buy. Henry scored a touchdown that drive. I think I missed maybe a little conversation up there earlier. James and Van agree with you. Van's also saying the same thing about Phoenix. Arizona Cardinals bandwagon sure. Fans, no real diehards. Card guy says more Alabama fans buying Tua than Miami fans.
Yeah, man, that's just true. I mean, Phoenix is another area where a lot of Midwest people move there in the past, you know, 15 years or so.
Shane says no likely love tonight. I got tons of likely love. I was actually talking about buying him last week. I called him out before the divisional game. We did really well there. I saw his card spike on eBay, and I'm curious to see where he's at now on a platform like COMC. I think Isaiah Likely's an absolute stud. Obviously, Lamar Jackson is got a chemistry with him, and Mark Andrews is not 100% healthy. So I really like Isaiah Likely. I like him in this matchup, in fact, man. And, yeah, I think – I mean, that's another angle. You could take skill position players on prop bets, and you can correlate that with – his rookie cards. Shane said he sold 10 cards this week of Isaiah Likely. Nice.
You know, Andy, have you heard anything about a potential Kelsey retirement after this year?
Yes.
I know that that's yes. a popular topic.
I've heard that too. And if he does retire, his card values flatline and go down. So regardless if he stays with Taylor Swift.
I think we see it where, you know, upon the announcement, there's a massive spike, but within like 48 hours or so, that nose dives down, you know,
yeah,
before it yeah. plateaus. So, but here's a couple, you know, galaxy brain type plays. Noah Gray would be the first fill in potentially, unless they draft or sign somebody. He did only fill in really from 1 week, and he did pretty good 2 weeks maybe. And the other, this is the galaxy brain part. Going back to the Isaiah Likely thing, I think he played well enough that maybe there's a chance Baltimore doesn't keep Mark Andrews anymore. Move on from him, and a team like KC could come along and try to sign him up. You never know.
Man, that would be huge. I mean, he'd be easily the number one tight end. Yeah, I mean, Isaiah Likely's cards have gone up quite a bit here, Steve. So. And I don't think you have to be forced to sell him. I don't think he's a guy you want to push to an auction, like try and be forced to sell. Like I would maybe say that about, you know, Jared Goff or maybe a Justice Hill for the Ravens or maybe a Dalvin Cook or something, you know, potentially if he gets a snap, you know, I don't know. But those are guys, the older guys like that, I'd be looking to sell. I feel like Isaiah Likely is an up and coming player that I'd be just happy to hold unless I'm making like a 3-4x profit on them this weekend, you know? But I'm looking at a significant increase here in the values of his cards.
Yeah, he fits into the good play, good hold category. So don't feel obligated to fire Sale just because, you know, it's the playoffs or whatever. But, you know, I would recommend more of a buy it now, you know, format where you can try to get your asking price rather than just, you know, what they say, taking what the market gives you. Taking what the market gives you would be really good on like Lamar right now, MVP candidate. Would be really good on CJ Stroud right now, despite the fact that they're knocked out. His cards are still, you know, one of the most sought after on the market. Tight ends, obviously, there's a little bit of a less demand for the position, but we say this every year, Andy, the demand for it grows and grows and grows as its role in the offense grows.
It does. And the other thing about Isaiah Likely that I like is he's only got 1,700 different rookie cards. So just to be totally clear, so everybody understands what I'm saying, is 1,700. That's the total number of parallels, base photo variations, the number of different sets he's been printed in, the number of inserts. That's the total different number of rookie cards he has. A lot of those all have their own print run. You know, some of those are one of ones. Sure. Some of those are one of ones. Some of those are one of one printing plates. Yes, they'll have one of those for each set. Some sets have multiple one-of-ones. A guy like Isaiah Likely probably only has one one-of-one in a lot of sets. And if you, just for comparison, you can get this information from tcdb.com or tradingcarddatabase.com. For comparison, for a 2022 rookie, we talked about Garrett Wilson earlier, right, Steve? Mm-hmm. Let's see how many different rookie cards does he have. How many do you think Garrett Wilson has?
Over 3,000,
probably. Almost 6,000. 5,895. Brees Hall is 5,613. Wow. So when you compare that, and then you see Isaiah Likely's got 1,700, that's why it's a much easier for the average rookie card value to go up quicker on Isaiah Likely than it is for Brees Hall or Garrett Wilson. Now, of course, the demand's a lot higher for those guys, so it's not a exact one-of-one comparison. But, for example, you go back to 2005, Aaron Rodgers, only 517 different rookie cards, so you can see how the numbers have grown. 1,700, that's about what Jared Goff has from 2016 as the number one overall pick. So you can see how the hobby has grown since then. And now, like Kenny Pickett from 2022, 7,000 different rookie cards, Steve.
So I think it's important to print. When you mention those numbers too, it's also important to mention that the number of buyers has gone up exponentially too. So like that there is a correlation. But anytime we talk about this same topic, we always highlight those specific rookie years simply because there is such less of a print run on those. Not only is there less cards available, but there's less base cards printed than now by a significant margin.
Yeah, it really is. So a ton of fun tonight. Shout out to our sponsors, Steve. Empower Men. This week has been a grind for me, but I'm still burning the body fat, man. I'm still working on my diet, still exercising, guys. They keep me accountable, man. I didn't feel like doing it this week. It's been rough. My wife has been sick. I've been taking care of the kids as well as keeping up with everything else at work and here on the quest and everything. But, you know, I got to go to their a call every week, and they're going to ask me if I did anything, if I said I was going to, if I did what I committed to. And I don't want to be that guy that shows up and didn't do anything. So they keep me accountable, and because of that, I've lost now 43 pounds, and I do feel a lot better. Like, I've actually been able to keep up. I think I might have had I probably would have passed out this week from everything that I've been doing, but I've got a lot more energy now. So shout out to Empower Men. We've got a special link in the description if you do want to join the transformation program that I'm a part of, and, you know, whether it's health, fitness, financial goals that you want to achieve, they will guide you and keep you accountable in getting there. So check that out. And then we are officially sponsored by CGC Cards, part of nooffseason.com. CGC Card Grading, another official sponsor of the Quest. They have grading submission fees as low as $12. I mean, crystal clear optics in their plastic, you know, backed by the largest coin and paper grading company in the world, Steve. I think what they're doing is phenomenal, and I'm excited to see where we go with them in 2024. And we literally just signed the paperwork on that last week. So it's brand new. I don't even have like an official like thing I'm supposed to read. I like talking about and researching different grading companies and what they can bring to the market. And I love the fact that they are backed by such strong, you know, stakeholders and everything. You know, it's they've got a great company.
Are they still the verification company for eBay, I believe?
Yeah, they're one of the verification companies. I believe eBay uses CGC and PSA, depending on where you order from. And there's probably a few criteria. Probably guys in the chat could probably educate us a little bit better than I know off the top of my head. But I believe they use both of them.
And you know what's cool is anyone that's been in this hobby for any amount of time, whether it was from when you were a kid to now, you've probably been to the store, the hobby store. You've seen comics, you've seen cards, you've seen coins. The shop I had growing up had all three. And guess who grades all of these? The same company. And you've been seeing them unknowingly your whole life. And here they are now with an updated slab and a quality product, which, I mean, that's a milestone, Andy. That's a big deal for the channel, man.
Yeah, we'll be taking a tour of their headquarters in like another month. We'll probably be doing, we're definitely going to be at the National in Cleveland this year with the nooffseason.com, AKA Sports Card Strategy. If you've seen Paul Hickey, was on his channel Wednesday. We'll be there with him. We'll be doing a couple appearances. He's coming down in another month or so. We'll be going to the CGC and doing some interviews and filming some videos and stuff. And we'll see where this takes us. But we got a really busy off season, guys. So make sure you're subscribed. We're going to be doing all kinds of deep dives. We're going to be looking at, you know, we're going to be looking at trying to pinpoint print runs of ultra modern cards at the best short print inserts and parallels to targets. We're going to be diving into every single NFL team because, hey, we're focused on football cards. That's all we do here. I don't have to worry about a bazillion basketball games, baseball games. Nah. I got 32 teams. I got about 500 players in the NFL, and each one of those players has a ton of different rookie cards. We got our work cut out for us, but we got the tools and we got the passion to dig in there and really dissect it for you guys and share all the information with you. So I hope you buckle up for a fun off season.
And if you're new here, just because the football season ended means nothing. We are banging it out every day, just about every week. Me and Andy's shows on the same night. Andy and Carter's show keeps going. You know, touch-ins with Paul and those guys will be happening periodically. And, you know, and then the featured content for the subscribers continues to come as well, too. So nothing changes. In fact, I think we actually get more active, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because we're no longer be focusing on the week-to-week slate. We'll have extra space in our brain for, you know, all the other good stuff, and we can really plan out everything and dig into a lot more of the nuances within the sports card market as well.
And don't forget early best ball drafting.
Early best ball drafting and the draft party. I'm looking forward to that, man.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend. Good luck this weekend in your championship games, whoever you're rooting for, whoever you're betting on, whoever you've got rookie cards listed for. Good luck. We will see you next time. Peace.